Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time. Who is the Slender Man? Coming to the Fearscape Media Network, FSMN's first ever mega October network crossover event, The Slender Man. Featuring three of your favorite network podcasts covering the Slender Man in all his slender glory. On October 1st, you'll hear Ghosts in the Attic, Bodies in the Basement, covering the Slender Man stabbing, where two 12-year-old girls lured their friend into a forest and stabbed her 19 times in a tent to become proxies of the fictional character, the Slender Man. On October 6th, Fearscape Paranormal Podcasts will be covering the legend, lore, and creepypasta of the Slender Man. And finally, on October 12th, join the Misters of the Dark as they cover the 2018 horror film Slender Man, just in time for the Halloween season. Go to fearscapemedia.com or wherever you stream your favorite Fearscape Media Network podcasts. Happy Halloween!
Thank you for tuning in to Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. We are on a journey to understand and to discover the phenomena that seems to exist all around the globe. We invite you to join us on this journey into the unknown.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another special episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. That's right, we are in part two of Slender Man, part of the mega October network crossover event here at the Fearscape Media Network. I am Stefan, and I am your host for the evening, and I am joined by my not Slender Man co-host, Josh Rutledge. Sir, I would refer to you as Jell-O Man.
Well, thank you, maybe. I was going to say Robust Man, maybe, but...
No, I like the way you jiggle when you talk.
Well, thank you, I guess. It's funny how Santa Claus is always described as having, you know, and his belly jiggle like a bowl full of Jell-O, right?
So yeah, jelly, okay? It's different. Jelly moves differently than Jell-O.
Isn't it made the same way?
I don't know. Do I look like I'm a canner? Do I look like I got mason jars in my basement that don't have body parts in them?
Isn't there a lot of like canneries in Ohio?
Sure. Actually, when I was a kid, my basement had this door, and we were like, where does this door go? My brother told me that the Frankenstein monster was in there and never opened the door. So I was always scared that Frankenstein's monster was going to get me. And it went to underneath my porch because, you know, this house was built in the early 1900s. And finally, one day, my sister and I said, screw it. And we opened the door, and it was just like a small little storage area. And there were like old mason jars canned from whoever at some point lived there and never got rid of them. And, you know, I never knew however long it was there or whatever. But yeah, there was a ton of old like canned tomatoes and all kinds of stuff in there. And my brother was like, those are brains.
I would like to thank you for saying Frankenstein's monster.
Well, it's because that's what it is.
I know, but I hear so many people talk about, I'm going to dress up as Frankenstein.
Yeah, well, I host a horror podcast, and my co-host Lance would murder me if I'd done it wrong. So there's that. Anyways, we're going to be talking about Slender Man tonight as part of the Mega October crossover event. If you haven't yet, last week premiered part one of the Slender Man trilogy here with Ghosts in the Attic, Bodies in the Basement. They covered the Slender Man attempted murder case, which two teenage girls took their teenage friend out to the woods and then stabbed her like 19 or 37 times or whatever, and like tried to say that Slender Man made them do it and that they were trying to appeal to Slender Man. And I believe that the second girl, the main girl in the bunch, just real recently got released from prison over this, because this happened a while back. But yeah, so they're going to be covering the true crime aspect there about the attempted murder. And then next week, you can join myself and Lance Wayne, the man with no name, on Mysteries of the Dark, where we're going to be covering the 2018 horror film Slender Man. Not Beware the Slender Man, which is the one about the murders, but just a horror movie about Slender Man. So we're going to be covering that. So do not miss any of these. All of these can be found at fearscapemedia.com or just wherever you stream. You know, look up Ghosts in the Attic, Bodies in the Basement, or Mysteries of the Dark. Or, and of course, you're here at Fearscape. So,
or also, if you follow us on YouTube, there's a special playlist that'll have all of them there.
Oh, so. That's right. There'll be a special playlist for the Mega October Network crossover event, Slender Man. Not to be confused with Jell-O Man.
Yeah. Well, Jell-O Man just doesn't sound very scary.
No, but he's like a blob. You should be scared, though.
I was going to say, that movie, The Blob, or that movie about the white stuff, I think it was called The Stuff.
That's a porn. The Stuff. Yes. The Stuff is a weird movie, man.
Yeah.
A really weird movie. anyways, yeah. Speaking of weird, so make sure you guys, if you haven't yet, make sure you're out there liking, sharing, I almost said describing, but reviewing, subscribing, all that stuff to all of our jazz. But that's the best way that you can help us out, especially giving us a review and leaving a review as well. We love that. That's the best way to do that. You can, you know, go to Apple Podcasts and all the places that have that ability to do so. It really, really helps us. Also, quick, of course, you know, sidebar, make sure you're checking out our Patreon. Lots of stuff happening, of course, with Wristwatch, but our Patreon is more than just Wristwatch. There's all kinds of really great. We got another Q&A getting ready to drop. We've got some really interesting stuff that happened in Somerset that we may or may not share to the public. So you may want to check that out as well. But yeah, it's going to be great. You can go to fearscapepodcast.com/support or patreon.com/fearscapepod and become a monthly patron and, you know, do all that jazz. So we just wanted to take a quick second and thank everyone that came out to Mid-America Paracon in Louisville, Kentucky to come see us. Thank you guys so much, man. It was so cool to meet some of our favorite blanket huggers there. It was just an absolute blast, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was the people that stopped by, you know, picked themselves up some Jersey Devil pins, you know, things like that. It was just really cool to see everybody.
Yeah, it was really cool. Of course, big thanks to Keith Age for inviting us in the first place. Our buddy, our mentor, our friend. We absolutely enjoyed that. And thanks to Lance Wayne for coming out and helping represent the network as well. We got a lot of cool new sightings where people submitted some sightings and some stories, all kinds of cool stuff, man. So I think we're set for the rest of the year on listener stories, man. I think we're,
going
to be good to go. But always keep your ears peeled. Sounds really gross, but keep your ears peeled for any other conventions that we might be hitting up in the next year for all of our listeners outside of Kentucky. But just wanted to just say big thank you to Keith Age and the Mid-America Paracon.
Which also, by the way, that would sound like a really good B horror movie. Ears peeled.
Oh,
like a guy just goes around peeling ears
with a potato peeler.
Yeah.
It also sounds like a reworked Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark story.
Or like something you would find in Saw.
Ooh, gross. Nope. Sorry, James Wan. Anyways, let's go ahead and move on to our first segment of the week so we can get to our topic of Slender Man. Let's go ahead to Psychic Word of the Week.
And now, the Psychic Word of the Week.
Psychic Word of the Week comes from the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary from June G. Bletzer, PhD. Rest in peace, Honey Bear. I love you, and I still haven't ever physically met you, though you are in my dreams. So I flipped through the pages, landed on page 586, and the word that caught my eye actually has two full words, because we've got the ER spelling and the ING spelling. So the first word here is splodger. and the second word is splodging. Though I will say, Junji Blitzer, I do not see splodge anywhere, which I would assume should be. But anyway, so we got splodger and splodging, and I wanted to read them both because I'm pretty sure they're obviously related. So splodger, and this is S-P-L-O-D-G-E-R for anyone that was wondering. Splodger is one who is extremely psychic and whose personal emotions spread out among those around him or her, drowning out psychic information and preventing it from coming or going out from anyone in the immediate vicinity. Emotions can be positive or negative, sent out unconsciously or deliberately. So kind of sounds like kind of like a cock block, right? The psychic version.
A psych block.
Yeah. A psych block is essentially what that sounds like. There is another term for it that I have heard, and I cannot think of what it is offhand, but basically someone that disrupts psychic connections. Like, you know, they can just soak it up, you know, and steal it, so to speak, which gets into splodging, which is a widespread general broadcasting of pleasant or uncomfortable emotions coming from one psychic, which are so intense that they drown out all other competing psychism in the immediate area. Or psychics tune into these emotions easily. Happens unconsciously or deliberately when the psychic is in a state of anxiety or is in a psychic development circle. Now, it's interesting. So splodging seems, I know it says not deliberately, but it feels like it's deliberate versus a splodger.
Well, no, I take it as, I mean, so you're engaging in some activity where psychic activity is expected, but you can't control your shit. You know, it's just running rampant and it's just suppressing everybody else that's in the area.
And not even suppressing, because I did talk about too, is it's almost like the reverse of an empath. It's almost forcing other people to feel the emotion you've decided. You know, we all talk about how fear can be not addictive. What's the word? Contagious, right?
Yeah.
This is a perfect example of that. It's like someone's really, really scared. It gets someone else scared around it. And to me, that's a form of splodging.
Well, and and I'm sure you've been places where, you know, somebody comes in the room and they're like talking loudly on their phone or they're yelling at somebody or whatever. Mm-hmm. And immediately you kind of pick up their vibes and you're starting to have, you know, you were having a good day. All of a sudden now you're having a bad day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yep. And so I would assume someone who is an empath would probably pick up a splodger even more so than normal.
Yeah, I'd say so, because, you know, they're just, again, they're just throwing it out there.
Yep.
Just and splodging, like I said, all over the place.
Splodging all over the place. Somebody, you know, it says can be deliberate, but it doesn't have to be. But very, very interesting. Thank you, Dr. Blitzer. But let's go ahead and move on to our next segment of the week. I've got some cool spooky news. All right. So I got some cool spooky news, Josh. Menudo news. No, this comes from republicworld.com. But again, I've seen this on a couple other pages here. The headline reads, U.S. man claims aliens ruined his life by implanting a nanochip into his arms. So this man is blaming aliens for everything.
Not the vaccine. So.
Right. It says a man in the United States claimed that aliens abducted him and implanted nanochip into his arm, resulting in his wife leaving him and causing him to lose his job. Tell that to the unemployment board. So it says Steve Colburn gave his mind-blowing alien abduction testimony during the Coast to Coast show reported by the Daily Star. He claimed that aliens abducted him in a UFO over 100 times, forcing him to devote his life to finding out more about alien existence. He explained that his encounter with aliens began when he noticed a UFO hovering over his avocado tree before being dragged up into the spaceship by a green laser beam. He was then escorted to a medical station and forced to lie down. And when he returned to Earth, Nothing was the same, which made him assume that he was given an implant that changed his life, Colburn said during the show. So he's just assumed that, I guess. He said he used a large tool that looked like a piece of stainless steel tubing with a fiber optic inside, which transmitted ultraviolet light, and a gadget on the end that dispensed the implants and placed them in the subject, Colburn explained. During the show, he further stated that the alien abduction had completely altered his perspective on life. The victim even claimed that his wife had gone through similar experiences, which led to their divorce, and he lost his job after the after his company attempted to investigate the implant. It certainly makes things more difficult down here on Earth, and sometimes the things that humans do seem utterly meaningless at times. My wife was furious when she learned of this and blamed me for it. I believe that was unjust, but that is just how people react, Colburn said. According to a report by the International Business Times, there are several alien abduction tales on the internet. There are some gripping stories that still remained unanswered. Chris Jones, a researcher for MUFON, suggested a few weeks ago that alien abduction accounts reported by people from around the world could be true. Even last month, physicist Mark Buchanan wrote a piece in the Washington Post in which he said trying to establish contact with aliens could be extremely dangerous and could possibly end all life on Earth. So,
well, there you go.
Be careful, guys. Be careful, okay? You listening, Stephen Greer? You got to be careful because Buchanan said if you try to talk to them, you could end all life on Earth.
I mean, you don't want to be that guy.
So I like that this guy was just like, man, my life is crazy. I must have an alien implant.
I mean, I can imagine that he went to work and filed for, like, you know, short-term disability or something.
Right.
And gave the reason as having an implant. And so his work's like, well, then fine. Go to the doctor and have the implant, you mm-hmm. know. Produced. And so
again, I don't disbelieve this guy at all. I'm making light of the situation, but I definitely would not have told my work that, hey, I'm sorry that I'm acting weirder than normal, but I have an alien implant in me if you guys will keep me employed here. So we know that, you know, the culture at large is not a fan of this stuff, so maybe not the best choice there, Colburn. Yeah. However, we need a producer, so come on, join our show. We can pay you in Jell-O. Just scrape it off, Josh.
Yep.
It's gross.
Disgusting.
That's disgusting. All right, well,
everybody's
let's move on.
Tune out of this episode.
I've already tuned out. So let's move to our final segment of the week, which is UFO UAP sighting of the week. Josh, UFO UAP sighting of the week. What do we got? Where's it from? And what the hell happened?
Yeah, so somebody saw a big bowl of Jell-O flying through. No, just anyways.
That's convenient.
Yeah, I know. This actually happened August 3rd of this year at 11:30 p.m. local time in Paoli, Oklahoma. And it was a triangle. Happened for about 5 minutes, and here is the tale.
My wife looked down our windows and saw lights hovering over our land at 11:30 in the evening. Our land is in a residential neighborhood in the middle of the country. Each house is on a few acres of land. It is very dark and quiet in our neighborhood at night. My wife said to me, "There's a drone. It's watching us." She grabbed her phone, and we went outside. There was an object over our land behind our backyard that was about 500 feet to 600 feet or so above the ground, and maybe about 100 to 200 yards or so away from us. It was perfectly still, with no movement, for the entire time before it flew back west and slightly upward towards the horizon. It kept a straight path until it disappeared. It didn't disappear suddenly, but just got too far out of our line of sight. The entire time, we did not hear it make any sound. It was very smooth, motionless, and silent. The object was the shape of a triangle and had three white lights at each point. It also had a red blinking light on occasion that emitted from the center of the craft. Our video from an iPhone is a bit blurry because the phone had trouble focusing on it being very dark in our neighborhood at night. But if you're able to zoom in on the video, certain parts come into focus and you can make out three lights very well. Naturally, it could be a commercial drone, a government drone, such as like a DEA drone, since there are a lot of marijuana farms on our county and state, or something unidentified. It certainly didn't seem like a drone in person, and if it was a drone, it was a state-of-the-art drone, likely from a government department.
Here we are, having to wonder if it's a drone.
Well, here's what's interesting. That description is exactly what I saw here a month after this sighting happened.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
That is exactly.
I know it's Oklahoma, but like, was it the same thing? Like,
yeah. It was exactly the same description. Three light lights, one on each kind of corner, and then a red blinking light in the middle. Mm. So, yeah, it's out there.
And I mean, get out there, y'all.
And it was like the thing I saw was big because it flew right over top of me. It was probably like, I don't know, 50 to 100 feet long and about the same wide. So,
Interesting, man. Very, very interesting. Thanks for finding that for us. Always, they get me every time. We have hundreds to choose from, man. Like, it just is a never-ending flurry.
Well, you know what's crazy is when I went to pick tonight's account, this was not the first one I clicked on. But every sighting I clicked on New Forks website presented an error message. Mm. This is the first one that I clicked on that actually took me to the story.
So this is the one that wanted you to read.
Yep.
Interesting. Yep. Very, very interesting. Well, thank you for that. Josh, but we need to get moving on. We're going to be talking about Slender Man. Just a reminder, if you have not checked out part one, True Crime, go check out the Ghosts in the Attic, Bodies in the Basement episode on the Slender Man attempted slaying. Craziness, man. That's all I'm going to say. Anyways, we're going to take a very, very short break, and we are going to be right back talking about legend and lore and creepypasta of Slender Man. Be right back.
This episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Manscaped.
Attention gamblers of all shapes and sizes. Our friends.
Yeah, hey, hold on, Josh. Hold on. I want to get out there because we got people in Arizona can now gamble. All right, so all of our Arizona listeners and me, this is for you.
Our friends at Manscaped have a can't-miss bet for you today. The leaders in male grooming have launched their fourth generation performance package. The betting odds are in your favor, and when you use the Lawnmower 4.0 on your dice across the board, this is the package you get in the mood for whatever your gambling heart desires. Ready to take the leap, a male grooming royalty? 2 million men have already joined the Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the promo code Fearscape.
That's right, because hitting a favorite is fun, but shaving your dice with confidence? You know, the folks at Manscaped have given us just that, and they have our trust when we're trimming our boys, you know what I mean? When you're trying to roll that dice, right, it can get dicey. But not with the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 here. Your dice come out smooth as dice. You know what I'm saying?
With all the little dimples and everything, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, plenty of dimples.
So, yeah, you know, whether you're using it in the shower, where you know, hopefully I wouldn't recommend taking it onto the floor of the casino and doing a little. I don't think I would recommend that, but you could. You could if you wanted to.
And let's say you're traveling to Vegas. Manscaped even has a bonus add-on in their performance package with their boxers and the Shed travel bag. These tools get your boys in your comfort zone before the games start.
And only say, with the Traver, no more red zone.
No more red zone. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code Fearscape at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Fearscape. Now, fellas, don't gamble on shaving your dice with the wrong tools. Choose Manscaped and your dice will thank you. And remember, they will always be smooth as dice.
Fearscape Media Network is your new home for everything weird and enlightening. Check out podcasts and YouTube shows covering content from discussions on horror films to the paranormal to meditation. Find out more at fearscapemedia.com.
All right, thank you guys for sticking around. We're going to be talking about Slender Man. And I'm just telling you right away, I'm like, is the Black Stick Men, are those just Slender Man's shadows? That's how I'm starting this whole bad boy.
Well, so you know what? Yeah, so I did quite a bit of research looking into Slender Man and found that, so there's never actually been, until the movie, there have never actually been Slender Man sightings.
Oh yeah, Slender Man is the OG creepypasta. Basically, for those of you who don't know, creepypasta is essentially what they now call urban legends. And these are circulated on the online Reddit and things like that. We've talked about it in the past. You know, for example, the Black Eyed Children kind of, you know, is a standard creepypasta. Slender Man is another one that kind of started online, or so they think, and the lore and legends grew around them, people sharing stories and such, and Slender Man is that. He's the OG.
But, you know, we've talked about it before, and I think you and Brad even did like a reading from several different creepypasta posts, in that creepypasta is not, it's a mixture of people just writing good fiction and also people reporting sightings. And so it's almost like the site is being run by Gray Barker and
Jim Mosley. Yeah.
And Jim Mosley, where they just kind of sprinkle in some truths amongst a bunch of fictions. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I mean it definitely skirts a lot. But I mean, so does most of our urban legends. I mean, you know, they skirt the line of just fiction that, you know, was written that someone saw somewhere in like a Fate magazine or something. Yeah. Along like the Hook Man and things like that. Or are they stemmed from something real? Right.
Yeah. Well, so and that's what I found. So, you know, in a very kind of high level talking about the actual Slender Man, you know, it's described as basically like a supernatural creature with a nebulous defined characteristics and abilities. In almost every description of Slender Man, his attributes will vary, sometimes greatly. You know, it's either the basic appearance is, you know, relatively consistent across different accounts. He generally appears as a tall humanoid creature in a black or gray suit with a red or black tie and a white shirt. His face is totally white or blanked out, completely devoid of all facial features, no hair, a general normal looking bare hands, although his fingers are much longer and bonier than a typical human. And basically in imagery, he's always predicted as like between 6 and 10 feet tall, depending on the situation.
Yeah, like really long arms. Kind of reminds me of like what you would see at like the old carnivals and stuff, like the guy that was on stilts, right? You know, that really skinny thing, but had the long pants and had extended arms and things like that. Almost like a marionette. Lore like that has him with like a top hat too, that's extra creepy.
So, but what's really interesting is that Slender Man as a modern name actually has a lot of heritage in traditional mythology and folklore. And so I was able to find a lot of the different lores that have gone, that have contributed to the creation or establishment of Slender Man in modern day.
Whoa, hit me.
Okay, so the first one on the list caught me off guard. Fairies.
Really?
So it says here that modern fairies tend to be portrayed as happy little winged people who grant wishes, and good little children come along with the name fairy. It's, you know, instead of the original. So it says like fairy today is F-A-I-R-Y, and the original was F-A-E-R-I-E.
Yep, we pagans, we still do a lot of work with the fae and use that spelling.
So traditional folklore fairies were much more complicated. Some fairies are benevolent and kind, but some can be cruel. Some fairies are mischievous and funny. Some can be harsh and murderous. Fairies vary greatly in size, and some were portrayed with wings, and some were unflying giants with thick, monstrous limbs.
Yeah, even some of the elvish stuff, I think, was inspired by fae tales.
So, like, some of the things that fairies have been known for, kidnapping children, having, you know, appearing differently to different people, having many names and keeping their true name secret. They disguise themselves and other things using fairy glamour.
They're skinwalkers. Skinwalkers of Europe.
They eat people in some cases. They cause disease. Able to change their form at will.
Well, when you think about it, man. So, like, even like, you know, you think about the different categories of a fairy. You've got the brownies. Brownies were always thought to steal children and things like that. But then you look at Shakespeare's fairies. They were man-sized, right? You know, Titania and Oberon and them. They were human-sized. So, I never really thought about that before.
So, you know, just a couple of things that I called out here. So, like, they don't always have wings, and wings are not a prerequisite for flight.
Right.
They can teleport, and they oftentimes trick humans into trusting them before leading them into some sort of a trap. So fairy was, like I said, again, because I've got daughters, and so I see fairy stuff all the time, and you got Tinkerbell and all this kind of stuff, but fairy is a much darker past.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always felt them more akin to Loki and things like that. Very mischievous, but can be helpful if they decide they want to.
So next up we've got the Grossmann.
God bless
or
you.
The tall man. This is from Germany.
Hey, so that's me. Stefan Gerhardt, the Grossmann.
The Grossmann. Says the Grossmann was commonly described as a fairy of the Black Forest, who takes away bad children who entered the forest at night and would stalk them until the child confessed their wrongdoings to a parent. And it says here that the evidence only exists on Slenderman fan sites to support this. However, there is a similar figure known as the Earl King. So the Earl King comes from a poem Goethe.
Oh, Goethe.
Yeah, totally. There's an R in there.
It's just how it's pronounced. I know Goethe.
Okay. He is described as living in the forest and was always trying to lure the child away from their father. Only the boy can sense the Earl King's presence, who eventually kills the boy. The behavior is similar to how Slenderman behaved in the early mythos.
That's interesting, man. I didn't think that, you know, this really kind of flew back that far, you know?
Yep, it goes back farther. So you've got a painting by Hans Baldung, who was a Renaissance artist who died in 1545. One of his famous paintings, The Three Ages of Woman and Death, portrays a skeletal figure holding an hourglass. I'm familiar with this painting. Are you?
Not without seeing it.
Okay.
I'm a visual person.
Okay. I got a photographic memory. So anyways, it's been a while since I dropped that nugget. Anyways, Something Awful, fan fiction, created a myth that in 2003, when undergoing x-ray analysis for insurance reasons, it was discovered that the painting was altered early on to remove several extra limbs of the skeletal figure that were originally painted into the picture. There is, however, no evidence the painting was ever x-rayed. So
weird.
Yep. Let's see. We've got Feardub from the British Isles. And the Feardub is the black man, which I don't necessarily think is a call out to, you know, to race. But anyways, it's a rare Scottish legend concerning a malevolent entity that haunts footpaths and forests at night. In ancient times, it used to be connected to the Christian devil. But some of its characteristics are closer to that of Slender Man. It was used to scare small children to stay indoors and keep pesky children from snooping into the woods without their family. We talked about this, I think when we talked about the in our Christmas episode, like a couple years back, Krampus, we talked about how it's funny how like parents used to use these types of things to scare their children into doing the right thing.
Right. I mean, I get it though. Like back then, I mean, the woods were a dangerous place. Like there was this documentary on one of the things, maybe it was Netflix or something, but it was just called The Dark. And it was just all about how the darkness has influenced every generation, culture, and things like that. And they were talking about how, you know, how dangerous it was to go out at night in, you know, the early 11, whatever, before, you know, cops and stuff, like, you know, because you had bandits, you had animals, you had all sorts of different things that were out there. And it was very, very dangerous to be out at nightfall at all. So I get that.
I mean, I do too, but it's just, you know, maybe we should employ some of that today. You know, don't go to the mall. It's full of nasty animals.
Watch out. The Slender Man is at McDonald's. You want to stay away from the Big Mac.
So moving on here, we've got the Clutch Bone. The Clutch Bone was a 7-foot monster the stories date back to the early 1800s in Northern England. Described as being black in color with leathery skin. Its head consisted of a lit torch within a large raised collar of material resembling rawhide. So it's basically Ghost Rider.
That's interesting because in the show Evil, which is a really, really good show if people haven't watched it, it's a CBS show. There was a creature that was on there, though I think it came from like Middle Eastern lore or whatever, but its head was on, it was very exactly how you just described it is exactly what this thing was. It basically had a matchstick head and it like had a leathery rough things. They're really good about putting in like lore and legends and stuff into this show.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet because just the previews kind of freak me out a little bit. And it's hard for me to watch things that I accept as possibilities. So
I think you'd like it, though. It's done really well. And they do a really good job of making you wonder constantly whether or not these things are real or if they're just hallucinating or seeing they do a really, really good job of constantly making you wonder whether or not in this reality these things are actually real. It's done really well. So I highly recommend Evil.
So I'll just have to watch it during the day. All right. So the Clutch Bone had a very violent nature. I mean, go figure. He's got a flame head, right?
Right. Clutch Bone is also one of the missing members of Bone Thugs and Harmony, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he was represented by a handbag.
Dumb. Oh, you're married.
Anyways, a destruction by burning and dismemberment of alleged victims. Violent events featuring the Clutch Bone often followed previous sightings of lightning balls created by severe weather conditions.
Those are really cool, by the way.
Yeah, lightning balls. They are. Although, makes you wonder how many of them were quote unquote ball lightning and how much of them were something else. You know?
Yeah, I know. Oh, for sure. For sure.
So, which also would kind of lend a little bit of, you know, credence to, you know, the theory that I've floated, which is, you know, some sort of a, you know, space-time rift opens when UFOs enter an area and all these weird things kind of spill through, if you will. But anyways, assume such a creature might arrive into this dimension or world by way of these natural phenomena. So basically they said, hey, there's a ball of lightning. It's opened up a doorway into the weird places beyond what we can see. And that's how these creatures are coming through. So moving on to Russia. So Russia folklore, in the early 20th century, they have a tall, slender man in the role of a corrector who would hunt those who existed through strange means. For instance, those who were born without a father.
Mm. I immediately, when you said corrector, I started thinking of Pink Floyd's The Wall with the teacher that would smack hands and things like that. And then he was represented by a big marionette, of course.
Yeah.
Immediately what I thought of was that creepy teacher.
Moving on to North America, we've got the bundle.
The bundle?
Yep.
All right.
Not a bundle of joy.
Oh.
This is a North American European myth dealing with a boogeyman type entity. Bundle is a sort of monster with generic traits that generally inconsistent. Bundle stories are tales of stories written about Bundle. The SCP Foundation. So I wonder if
Daniel
might.
Yeah. If you guys haven't listened, check out Memories of Cain, an SCP podcast. If you're into SCP stuff, he's got an incredible podcast. So
the SCP Foundation claims that Bundle, designated SCP-582, is a real shadowy humanoid that propagates through people's awareness of it.
Ooh, that's kind of creepy. It's like, because you decide, I'm not even gonna talk about it, because then there's gonna be a bundle in my room.
That's like Santosh's AI conundrum that he talked about. So on Actual Stew, so simply writing about it through a bundle story makes it appear in that situation.
Right now, we've done it. I mean, that's essentially already talking about it. We've given credence to it, and now there's bundles in everyone's home.
Why do you think I turned off my virtual background on Zoom? I want to see what's coming up.
Y'all just put it in your clutch bone, because it is a purse, so you can just shove it in there. So put the bundle in your clutch.
You know what? You may have said that I'm married because I made that reference, but you got the reference.
I'm a theater person. I've had to carry a clutch on stage.
Mm-hmm. So if this next one doesn't scare you, in North America, some legends claim there are giant spiders.
Nope. Bye.
In the swamps that grab victims with their legs and drag them into the depths of the water.
No, see, people are scared of the desert because of spiders and scorpions and snakes. I'm like, no, the swamp, you can't see anything. At least in the desert, it's flat. You see that sucker coming. But in the swamp, dude, unless Swamp Thing's there to help you out, you gone.
Well, you already got crocodiles and maybe not crocodiles, alligators, alligators and all that stuff. And then you got those big gar fish. I'm talking about the alligator gar.
I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't want Shelob coming and grabbing me and pulling me under with Bilbo. I don't want
that. And that's what with Slender Man, you know, some of the depictions that of like Slender Man, and I guess why they've included this in the reference is that some of the depictions have like extra arms kind of coming.
I have seen those.
From behind Slender Man to kind of reach out and grab you.
I didn't never know what that was for. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is exactly why you'll see that. That's weird.
So
creepy. I don't want, man, Slender Man's already creepy. Now I got to add spider to it.
Yeah, and bundles. So,
ugh.
The book Ghost Stories of the American South by W.K. McNeil details the story of a tall, skinny, tree-like man who abducts a child from a family in the American South. The story was collected from a 72-year-old man in Berea, Kentucky. Wow.
Oh, shut up. Yeah.
In 1963, meaning that the story could date back to the early 20th century.
Man, I've got like one of those Ghosts of Kentucky books. I wonder if it's in there. Because the guy that wrote that book is like, he collected ghost stories from around Kentucky for years and years and years and years. I mean, he's got 7 or 8 books on ghosts of Kentucky. I wonder if it's in one of those.
Yeah. So, you know, of course, the tall, skinny tree-like man kind of harkens back to
Treebeard.
Well, I was going to say Hellier.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, Taino, I don't know, T-A-I with like the little hash mark, N-O. Taino?
Sure. Taino?
Okay. Is a civilization of pre-Columbian inhabitants in the Caribbean. Yeah, I want to just pause for a minute and call out that I was reading a book the other day that talked about how diverse in technology the humans of Earth are. The fact that we have people who on one side, you know, we're talking to each other across the internet via, you know, camera systems, yet there are still tribes of humans on the planet who are hunting with bows spears, and arrows, yeah, and, you know, and spears. And I mean, just the great diversity. And unfortunately, there are also people on the planet who think that we need to go elevate them in some way, shape, or form. So,
right,
but whatever.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just thought that was really neat.
It is,
that,
yeah, it is interesting. I never thought about it like that.
So, in the Caribbean, legends often speak of the Hoopia or Upia, a nocturnal humanoid without a face,
mm-hmm,
that stalks, paralyzes its victims,
yep,
and drives them in.
I thought I'd heard of this one before. Brad and I covered this back during our Night Hag episode when we talked about night hags around the world. I remember that because I think I called it the Oprah or something, or the Whoopi Oprah or something like that. Yeah, definitely heard of this one.
It's the Gyna, is what it's it is.
Yes.
So next up, we've got the Mogina sightings of 1959. This was of a faceless woman referred to as Mogina, although believed to have actually been a Nuparabu, okay, were reported in Kahala, Hawaii. The creature was sighted in the woman's restroom of a theater combing her hair.
Oh, that sounds like some Japanese horror right there. Yeah. Man.
The witness went closer to the woman, and then the Mogina turned her head, revealing her lack of face. So, according to Hawaiian historian and folklorist Glenn Grant, in a 1981 radio interview, dismissed the story as a rumor, only to be called by the witness herself, who gave more details on the event, including the previously unreported detail that the Mogina questioned had red hair.
Crazy.
This reminds me of the Twilight Zone episode where he's like in the house and there's the girl, mm-hmm, watching TV, always, yes, watching TV. And like, he finally works up the nerve to go in there and she has no face.
Yes. And that was even in the Twilight Zone movie, too. I think they redid that one.
So, yeah, that one was obviously it stuck with me over the years. Mm-hmm. So moving on to Japan. Japan is actually where the Nuparabu, also known as the Zumbarabo or Nuparabu, so many names, is a faceless ghost or yokai whose legendary appearance is described as deeply terrifying and which takes delight in terrifying humans. The Nuparabu or faceless ghost is a legendary creature in Japanese folklore, a kind of hobgoblin known primarily for frightening humans. The Nuparabu appears at first as an ordinary human being, sometimes impersonating someone familiar to the victim of the scare, before causing his feature to disappear, leaving a blank, smooth sheet of skin where the face ought to be.
Oh, man. Like Freddy coming through the walls, man.
The archetype of the faceless man relates to at once to hope and terror. I'm not gonna lie, it's hard for me to look at pictures of Slender Man, and I think it's because of the face.
I know, dude, it creeps me out, man.
I mean,
it creeps me out.
The long limbs doesn't bother me so much. It's the face that gets me so, you know, really, really bad. So a similar Japanese yokai is the Ashinaga Tanaga. a spirit with extremely long arms and legs. Another more obscure yoki known as Mikoshi Enyuro also bears a striking resemblance to Slender Man, having a tall and malleable body and killing humans in wooded areas. All right, moving on.
I don't like that.
Well, I don't think anybody likes it, Stefan.
No, some people do. If you listen to the true crime episode on Slender Man, those two girls really liked it. So,
or did they just use it as an excuse?
I mean, you know, they were like 14 or whatever. I mean, it could go either way or both. Yeah. I mean, really at the same time.
Very impressionable.
Yeah.
So moving on to China. Chinese legend involves a deity known as the Hundun, a faceless deity without human senses.
I'm the Hundun with that as well.
Was sometimes described as a wicked humanoid with multiple limbs, the personification of chaos. However, Hundun died when his friends tried to drill eyes, a nose, and a mouth into his face.
Jesus. He's like the original jack-o'-lantern.
What if that's where the jack-o'-lantern started?
No, I know. Let me tell you, Santosh used to do as a performance piece the origin of the jack-o'-lantern. It's a really cool story, and actually, you know, turnips were the original jack-o'-lantern, but it's about this guy. He goes down to hell, the whole nine yards, but Santosh does a hooey devil. Like, it's great. It's great. He hasn't done it in a long time, but man, I used to make him do it every Halloween. It's a great, great story.
So we got a couple more here to wrap us out. So that's Babylonian. So Babylonians, such as the Akkadians and the Sumerians,
the Akkadians. Thank you very much.
Whatever. How do you know?
Because this is where aliens come from, dude. Is the Sumerians and the Akkadians.
But do you read Babylonian?
I do. Oh, no, wait. That's bologna packages. Sorry. I thought you meant bologna packages. It is Akkadian, so.
For all we know, it's actually Akkadians.
It's Appalachia.
It's the brief.
The brief.
Believed in a specific demon called the Alu, a half-man, half-devil creature without a face. The Alu creeps into its victims' bedrooms and terrifies them as they sleep. This may have come up in your all's thing. The Alu demon was said to cause loss of consciousness, fixations of the eyes in a stare, and loss of speech.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, you've heard a lot of my night hag stories, and some of them are really tall. And remember, some of them have had really long arms and stuff. Yep. So,
yeah,
interesting.
You're getting visited by the Alu, apparently.
Yep. There's a bundle in my room.
Brazilian stuff. So an early similar mythological creature is found within the cave paintings found in the Serra da Capivara National Park in the northeast of Brazil, which are believed to date as far back as 9,000 BC.
Wow. No one was alive then.
Yeah. I mean, the earth is only 6,000 years old. So,
and we had a flood 4,300 years ago.
Yeah. These paintings show a strangely elongated character leading a child by the hand, but make no reference to the extra appendages.
It's creepy. What did they see? Like, what did they?
I know.
Is this just like the early Dali of, you know, Salvador Dali of Brazil in the 9,000 BC? Or was this like, I'm drawing this exactly what it looks like?
Or, you know, was it like a guy carrying a bundle of sticks on his back? You know, I mean, who knows? So, it was the switching man.
Man. Yeah. I'm looking at the cave drawing. Oh, I've seen this before. Yes. This is so creepy. This also came up, oddly enough, that I made a joke about the Black Stick Men, because this same cave painting came up representing the Black Stick Men as well, because in this cave painting are a bunch of elongated bodies that are flat that look like the Black Stick Men. So interesting that these are both in this. You've got Because I made a joke that they were related earlier, right? So,
I mean, you know, we live in three-dimensional space. What if there are beings who live in two-dimensional space?
There would have to be. I saw a TikTok, a guy was talking about that, about just explain, maybe you sent it to us or whatever, but it's like explaining two-dimensional space versus three-dimensional space versus four-dimensional space. Like, I was like, wow, what a great explanation using an apple or whatever.
Yeah, so
really cool.
Let's see. Egyptian, there are some Egyptian hieroglyphs seem to portray what could be a multi-armed men among other more usual hieroglyphs. These multi-armed creatures known as the Thief of the Gods.
Great. That sounds like a movie if I've ever,
ever
heard one.
Starring like Nicolas Cage.
No, don't ruin it. I like Matchstick Men. He's got a good movie, Mandy. I highly recommend. It's Nicolas Cage at his finest, being Nicolas Cage, but it actually works because of this movie. Anyway.
So Aztec. So some Aztec art appears to depict priests removing hearts of sacrifices with three or more arms.
Ooh.
Some Mayan art also depict Mayan priests doing the same.
Hmm. I mean, it's like, you know, I know that a lot of these ancient civilizations were doing all this stuff just because they didn't understand yet how science works and things like that. So they kind of put a god on top of it. But people like the Aztecs and the Mayans were a lot smarter than we think. So it's like, did they see something, though? Like, was there a reason that they were like, we got to kill a bunch of people for this thing or it's going to devour us, right? It's like, they were pretty smart, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you listen to the whole ancient astronaut people, it's because they were, that's why there are pyramid-like structures there, the same as in Egypt, is because they were the same cross population, if you will. So, also in Mayan mythology, ceiba trees are they're huge with long branches, are considered sacred. Legends often link the cebas with scary tales and demonic creatures. One tale concerns the story of an evil spirit disguised as a ceiba who would lure drunk men to it. The Ya Akchi Wink, or the Ceiba Man, was a Mayan god who lived in the ceiba trees who would receive sacrifices by ancient Mayans.
Yeah, ceiba trees are really neat looking, by the way. Just Google C-E-I-B-A tree because they're pretty sweet. And yeah, I could definitely see how you would be frightened of that.
So that's kind of wrapping up the lore. I do have one reference, which I don't want to necessarily dig too much into because... You all will probably cover it on Mysteries of the Dark, but there is some early movie references to Tallman, which are thought to maybe have influenced.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I got a number just off the top of my head.
So there's the 1979 horror film Phantasms.
Yes, Phantasm. The Tallman. Oh, he's so creepy.
There is. The Cabadath, which is an amateur game called the Chuzo Mythos, featured a faceless tall man named Cabadath as a villain in some of the games. The Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes.
Thought to have been maybe an influence on Slender Man as in modern day. And then lastly, I thought this was interesting and maybe worth looking into for a future episode. The Silence.
Yes.
From Doctor Who.
Yeah, from Doctor Who, as well as the Gentleman from Buffy, which I always thought the Silence and the Gentleman were pretty damn similar.
So it says here that these things were inspired by Slender Man. That Doctor Who producer Stephen Moffat credits their creation to Edvard Munch's painting The Scream.
Yep.
And also 1950s Men in Black myths and the gray alien myths.
For sure. I mean, Moffat was, he's always stealing stuff. But yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah. But Buffy, I believe, with the gentleman, now they had eyes, but they couldn't speak or things like that. But it was very, very similar. Tall. They were demons and things like that. But that was before Slender Man got popular.
Yeah.
I also think of The Question from DC Comics. He's a hero. He's a detective, but he's got no face. And he's got, you know, a hat that he wears and a big long coat. But he's a good guy.
Isn't what about the Rorschach guy?
Rorschach, yeah, Rorschach a little bit could fit into that from Watchmen. But also, I've always heard a lot of people say that these are also Men in Black. Like, that's also something I've heard before.
So, you know, a lot of these references, like the later left references to trees, kind of equate back to, because Slender Man was basically, he killed his victims by impaling them on very tall trees and allowing them to bleed to death. So that's where a lot of the tree stuff came in. There's some newer accounts of Slender Man's powers and abilities, which, you know, we didn't really talk about in the contributing lore. But basically, you know, the ability basically to impale the targets on very high trees, his overtly aggressive attitude, and then a tendency to target mainly children. So,
yeah. And it's interesting because the Slender Man tale, he can almost kind of be a Pied Piper as well. Like, because sometimes he's kidnapping and murdering children, other times he is children's friend, right? Like, so sometimes kids can call upon Slender Man to get them out of an abusive house or things like that. So it's kind of mixed, but again, very much like the fairies, right? The old school fairies, like, they could help or they could hurt. It just depends.
It also says that the longer the Slender Man stalks a victim, the greater strain on their mental health may be seen. So prolonged stalking causes what is known as Slender sickness, which is both a mental and physical ailment. It can cause paranoia, nightmares, coughing and difficulty swallowing, convulsions, exhaustion, vomiting, hallucinations, etc. So
hallucinations.
Yep.
Hey, goddamn hallucinations, man. I tell you what, boy, it is crazy. It's crazy going on in that down there. but yeah, Slender Man's got some of his other superpowers, so to speak. He can be invisible, of course. He can change height and body shape. We've got tentacles.
Yeah.
We've got all kinds of stuff. And then there's also the phenomenon. I don't know if you came across this or not. The one that always freaked me out was the slender walking. You heard of slender walking yet?
I don't guess I have. Is that where, like, you turn sideways and you hide behind a light post?
No, it's not something that we do, but Slender Man's has a phenomenon. Slender walking is a term used to to describe Slender Man's apparent teleportation and space-time warping between locations. These abilities were seen in early Slender Man accounts and is one of the most recognizable elements of the mythos. He seems to appear seemingly from nowhere in a place where he wasn't mere seconds before, and that this is one of his scariest traits. This is why you'll see a lot of pictures where all of a sudden he's in a picture. You know, like, he wasn't there when the person took the picture, and all of a sudden, boom, he's there.
There's a character I remember seeing a movie that can move in and out of the shadows. It's like, I want to say it's like a DC villain, maybe in Batman or something.
There's a number of shadow movers in DC and Marvel. So,
but that's what it kind of reminds me of. It's like the, you know, he's moving in and out of the shadows. So, also, it says here that he not only stalks children, but also will stalk adults who saw him when they were children.
Yep.
And so it's like he retains that memory or connection. So,
yeah, it says if the victim was an adult, Slender Man would stalk the victim for long periods of times, especially if they had had a terrible tragedy in their life, especially if that tragedy was caused by Slender Man when they were kids. That's interesting. But the adults that would get that could get an illness that became known as Slender Sickness. And the symptoms include massive paranoia, nausea, nosebleeds, nightmares, and hallucinations, as Josh would say.
Yeah. Don't, you know, I'm just, there's supposed to be a Z in there, okay? It's been taken out over the years. That's all it is.
Oh, okay.
That the original language, hallucinations is what it was.
That makes way more sense. But yeah, lots of really cool stuff, man. There's so much. There's just so much. I mean, you want to get into a rabbit hole? Just go to the subreddit Slender Man. I mean, hell, just go to the subreddit Creepypasta. You're going to find 100 that are specifically on that, or go to the SCP, you know, content there.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, and it's creepy. And one of my first experiences with Slender Man, besides just seeing it, you know, oh, what's this new thing that everybody's talking about, Slender Man, was on the podcast, The Black Tapes. In the very, I think it's the first episode, one of the first cases that they talk about is a Slender Man type creepy person that shows up in the video of this person's early birthday and then later on at his wedding. Same dress, same everything, and it was like this thing that they were investigating, and it creeped me out. It creeped me out pretty good. So
it was just
people that are out there though that put these Slender Men in pictures. Good work.
it was just their tall Uncle Frank. So
yes, yeah, just tall Uncle Frank with no face. He lost it. Numb. His whole face
got blown off.
Just blown off and melted and just made.
Yep.
Just nothing. Just
I don't
nothing
want to make new. Light of people who got injured in Nam. I know that's.
Oh, seriously. And don't forget Dick Tracy, Madonna, when she played the bad guy that had no face. Spoiler alert: it's Madonna.
We'll talk more about
the movie stuff, of course, and more influence what, stuff like that.
Wasn't that character called No Face?
Yes, I couldn't remember the name of it. Also, sounds like a G.I. Joe, doesn't it? Like
it does a little bit, yeah.
That's what's behind Snake Eyes' helmet. G.I. Joe, it's just nothing. Or even Cobra, like that Cobra Commander. That's what it should have been instead of a weird snake head or whatever it turned out to be.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So, anyways,
but
that's
yeah,
what I got. That's what thanks, I got on Josh. The lore.
Thanks. Yeah, the lore history, and legend.
The yeah. So there
that's
you go.
A good. That's a good, nice little dive into Slender Man. And like I said, I used to talk a lot of shit about Slender Man back in the day, just because I was the old guy that was like, "Oh, these kids these days. We had the Hook Man." The more and more and more I've gotten into it, the more and more I'm really digging the lore of Slender Man. And I've even gotten caught up in some creepy pasta. One that I really like is called Tommy Taffy. Oh my god, you talk about Tommy Taffy. That's a creepy pasta you want to get into. That's super creepy. That I ended up even buying a whole novel, like, because I loved it so much. I love Tommy Taffy. So
it's,
but yeah,
is that like the evil Fantastic Four guy? What's his name?
No,
Reed Richards.
His name just happens to be Tommy Taffy. He's got really, he kind of has got a face like Odo. His head, it's very smooth and stuff like that. But he's got these really incredible teeth, and he just shows up at people's homes and like essentially becomes like a father. And it's crazy, dude. Like forces, it's nuts. Look up Tommy Taffy. There's some really cool stories.
Nope.
Crazy. It's crazy, dude. He's crazy. Anyways, let's go ahead and move on. Josh, again, thank you. Just a reminder, check out Ghosts in the Attic, Bodies in the Basement on the Stabbing. And then, of course, next week, or if it's already next week, you're listening to this later, check out Mistress of the Dark, where we're going to be talking about the 2018 horror film Slender Man. And of course, I'm sure we'll touch on some other Slender Man in pop culture as well. But that's going to be great. All that stuff. I love October, Josh. I love it. It's one of my favorite times of year. But we want to start wrapping up, want to start getting out of here. So want to remind you, we do have a Fearscape Media Network app that you can download on Google Play Store. It's super awesome. It's an easy hub for all access to all the Fearscape Media Network shows, you know, like Mistress of the Dark, like we talked about, Ghosts in the Attic, Bodies in the Basement, Memories of Cain, Wishful Drinking, Binge Thinking, all that stuff. So, well, Peer Beyond the Veil, which, God, I love him, man. His voice, it just soothes me. But lots of good stuff. But we're going to get into our final segment of the show, which is Encounters from the Fearscape. Encounters from All right, Encounters from the Fearscape this week, Josh. I've got a story that comes from a listener named Brooke. And Brooke comes from the wonderful state of Arkansas, colloquially known as Arkansas. So here's a short but brief story, but it's just take a listen.
I woke up at 3 a.m. last night and I see shadow figures in the corner of my bedroom. And as it moved to different directions, I all of a sudden seen four figures. Now, I gotta admit, there's not much that I can do looking at these spirits or whatever they are. But for some reason, I'm not afraid of it. It's just unsettling that I even see these and I experience their manifestation where I can see them. Now, even my kids and my cats sees them. These shadow figures do keep their distance, so I'm not afraid of them at all. However, I'm sure that these spirits know that I'm recovering from emergency spine surgery I just had 2 weeks ago. And so I'm just guessing that maybe these things are just checking in to see how I'm doing. However, at night, it's unsettling, okay? It's nighttime. That's supposed to be my calm time. But oh well, it is what it is. I guess if they keep showing up, I'll just try to wave hi.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not scared, but I would have run from the room personally. That would have freaked me out, especially, you know, if it wasn't a night hag thing where I'm not paralyzed and I can tell myself, oh, you're just seeing stuff.
Yeah.
Seeing that. But I mean, at the same time, she did have spine surgery, so I guess can't move. And the cats and the kids, like, everybody's like, hey, come on in here. Hey guys, we got some shadow figures, so come on in. It's braver than I.
It's like a puppet show.
I guess. But Brooke, you are much braver than I. When it's spirits that I know, whether it be a past relative or not, I still get scared. After all these years of all my paranormal experiences, I am still the first person to squeal and scream and run. I don't know why. It's a trigger. It's just a natural reaction for me to get the hell out. So I'm not very good on a ghost hunt.
Get out of my house.
Oh, if I heard that, I would burn the house down. Like, if I heard it audibly, oh man, Waverly would be done. They wouldn't have anything to build upon.
So I shouldn't record it into a voice box and then hide it somewhere in your apartment?
Oh no. I got a baby coming and I do not want to have to buy things again for a second time because I have burnt down the entire apartment complex. Though I do have renter's insurance.
No.
So
do you have arson insurance though?
It's not arson. I was protecting myself. It was self-defense. Self-defense. Anyways, Josh, we're just rambling on. Thank you guys. Quick. Go what?
Real quick, sorry. I just want to, since it's the brief.
The debrief.
Is debrief on the other side of defense?
Oh, you couldn't have used that one with Chris Plain. That was deplorable. So in his defense, Chris Plain, I'm sorry. Chrissy, you too. Anyways, it is October, so I just wanted to say to everyone, happy spooky season. This is our favorite time of year. You know we love it. So y'all got to stay spooky, okay? But we are going to get out of here. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. I have been your host, and Stefan, that's me, not and me. And I just want to remind you guys, it's about to start getting darker, so that means keep your eyes on the skies.
And the truth is happening right now.
Right now. Josh right cannot follow a script, moment. Not even his own script. And it's getting cooler out there, so hold those blankets extra tight because things tend to get spooky when you're listening to Fearscape. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
We hope you have enjoyed this guidepost on the road of high strangeness with us. And we thank you, as always, for listening and joining our caravan to the weird and unknown. please consider supporting us as we continue our journey to find the answers we all seek. FearscapePodcast.com/support.